I want you to go with Zechariah 4. I'm going to talk to you today about what we call the plumb line. I'm going to endeavor to define it. I was given this chapter a long time ago, Zechariah 4, and I didn't really understand it. It's an unveiling of the full end-time plan of God, multiple layered wisdom in this chapter. Sometimes it takes 5 years of training just to understand one single verse, but it's coming together and really powerful. And this chapter, as you know, verse 9 says, the hands of Zerubbabel, we're hands in the last days. Zerubbabel, speaking of a type and shadow of Christ, the king. And there's two revelations. Zechariah 3 talks about Christ the high priest. Zechariah 4, Christ the king. And so the hands, Zechariah 4, 9, of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. The house of David is returning to the earth. Acts chapter 1, we see when he ascended into the heavens, they ask, will you restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put under his authority. Well, Acts chapter 2 specifically says that Christ is sitting on the throne of David in the heavens, which means God took the entire throne and he took all the inheritances and he basically took it from natural to spiritual, and Christ brought up in the heavens, and the Father reassigned all of that there. He did not do away with it, because the throne of David will be forever. God promised that there will not be a man to sit on his throne forever. But Christ never sat on the throne in the earth, but he will. He'll sit on the throne of David in the coming 1,000-year millennial reign. Then, in Acts chapter 1, he was reassigning into the heavens. And now, he's bringing it back. He's returning. The house of David will return. He'll proceed by his crown. It'll proceed by his glory. It's going to return. The church is actually going to bear witness of it before we're lifted out of here. And Christ is going to sit on that throne visibly and rule from it for 1,000 years. And we're going to rule with him. And that's a good place to say amen. When he talks about he laid the foundation of this house, he's talking about the same house of Haggai, the glory of the latter-day house would be greater than the former. That house is a kingly house. It's going to restore in the church age. It's part of the latter reign movement of God, the restoration of that house and the operations of it. And then he says this, verse 10. For who hath despised the day as small things are, despise not the day of the small beginnings. For they shall rejoice. If you don't have a King James, your translation might be a little awkward, but they shall rejoice to see the plummet or plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, or hands of Zerubbabel, say hands, with those 7, which are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro the whole earth. So it's very specifically saying that the 7 spirits of God will be with the hands of Zerubbabel and this thing called a plumb line. Plumb line is a carpenter's tool back in the day where it had they call it a weight of 10 or a stone of 10, and they would tie it on a string and they'd drop it. And when they would drop the plumb line, it would make a perfect vertical line. And then they would build vertically, perfectly to that line because of that weight that would be dropped. So there's some interesting things about the plumb line. It does not start in the earth. It starts from above. Or it doesn't start beneath. The plumb line is an operation that's going to descend from an elevated position. It's not going to start from a level position, which means if a church or a church age is going to operate, that church age is going to have to learn to be above only, not beneath. Which means it's a church age that's going to have to learn their position of being raised together, made to sit together, because it's going to be dropped from above. It's not going to be created here. And this is a great necessity that we learn to grow up very fast in this age, to move outside of this jurisdiction, to move into the place of your secret place, that's far above, say far above, all principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this age. The Bible says you're already seated there. You're already positionally there, but we need to learn how to access. That's phase one, which is up there right now. All that we do to go up, all that we do to go in. You ascend, all of these words of being in position in a jurisdiction. Now, I don't want you to think that we need to go to where there's throne, there's lightnings and thunders. If you're looking for that, you're looking for the sensationalism. That's not how that works. I mean, on a daily basis, you're not going to go before the throne where there's lightning and thunders every day. It's just not going to happen. Well, it hadn't happened that I know of. But we still, the Bible says, when you pray, enter your closet. Probably not the one he's talking about with the shoes in it. But it's a secret place. You got to learn your place. Everyone say, look at your neighbor, say, learn your place. We all have a position. He says, shut the door, which means there's going to be one jurisdictional shifting is one place. We shut the door. We move to another place. Whatever that place is, there's the Father because the Father will see you there. So whatever your prayer needs to do, you need to get in the presence of the Father. The Bible says we are seated together with him at the right hand of God. We have kind of a pathway God's given us over the years is how to move through the door. There are things you got to learn there. There needs to be an exchange. You're not going to move around heaven in your own self. You need exchange for his righteousness. Doesn't mean you're going to walk up and down the streets of gold, but there are heavenly places we need to be accustomed to operating in. And the Bible says we can exchange into his righteousness. We stand in him, we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Found in him, the Bible says. All of these are positions in Christ that's above only, not beneath. They're not earthly. The throne of grace is not earthly. And the Bible says, let us boldly go to the throne of grace. So if you want to get your phone out and Google throne of grace right now, I'm quite certain it's not a geographical place. Not in the earth, it's not. But we have been given position and coordinates. Our coordinates to the throne of grace is defined by the word of God. Now, sitting here, and the Lord said, tell my people to use their imagination. When his word interacts with you, his word reveals an image. The word is not just knowledge, it's living. And when it comes, it's rhema, it's going to create an image. When you see throne of grace, what does that look like to you? What does it see? There's an image ingrained in there. And when you pray, you need to see and say and pray where you're at. So when you're moving in a place, you need to see it, you need to say it. Not with these eyes. The more you do this, you'll learn to operate what's called the eye of faith. The eye of faith is not this mind eye. The eye of faith is developed by faith itself operating and by actually doing it. Do the word. Stand on the word. Some people are learning to get into the throne of grace. When you do that long enough, your secret place, you'll learn how to get there. You have the pathway. You know how to get there. How many of you want to pray? You know how to get in your place. Raise your hand. You get a path. It just works. When you do it, a pathway develops. When a path develops, you kind of know that place. There are places and realms in God that if we don't explore, you're never going to know. But there's also a map. If you have a map, it's going to be a lot easier to get where you're going. If you have a compass, it's a lot easier to arrive somewhere. When I pray, I'm not just going to spend 5 minutes and we're done. I have a compass. I have a mission. I'm going somewhere. I'm locked in. When you see me going up to these places, I'm locked into what I see. When I'm in the throne of grace, when I'm in the Jordan, when I'm in the righteousness, I see. When I'm in the Father, I know what that looks like. I know what it feels like. There are these positions that we enter into. It's all part of getting position. Now, what God is training for, that's all secret place. That's all fellowship. That's all abiding. That's all interaction. But there is a day that God is swiftly bringing, a day of dominion. And in this day, God wants to see the manifested heirs walking the earth. A lot of people think the glory is just going to fall, and it is, but if you're not trained in the glory, you're not going to last very long in it. The glory requires a training. The manifestation of that glory requires a training. That's why people who operate it don't last very long, because they don't understand the warfare that comes with it. But God has a solution to every one of these issues. And the great solution he's building right now is what we call the plumb line. And I'm going to talk to you the rest of this service about what that is, what that looks like, the revelation we've been given, and what all's involved in. The plumb line is not a singular operation. It's multiple operations of God coming down. It's the way the kingdom will descend and all that's in it. There's a lot going on. And we've been in this a long time, but if I can show you what's in it, we can teach you how to pray, which God's doing now. You can build a shield around you that's almost impenetrable. You can build a shield around your body, around your family, that the enemy can't get through. Like when the enemy came to God about Job, he said, there's a hedge around him. I can't touch him. How many of you need that hedge? We want a hedge. In this day and time, we're going to have it. I mean, to tell you that the world out there is going to get any better, it's not. The Bible says it's going to be gross darkness, but there's going to be great light coming out of the church. Glorious things. So I want to talk to you today about what I see, the plumb line, what all's in it, the operations in it, and how effective it's going to be. The first thing we want to see is the plumb line, like we said, is dropped from an above position. The Bible says Christ was made lower than the angels at the suffering of death. It's the only time he's ever made lower than the angels. The angels of God worshipped him at his birth. They were subservient to him in his ministry. At the suffering of death, when he relinquished his spirit, he became lower than the angels. But then the Bible says he was raised in glory and he was crowned. According to Hebrews, he was crowned with glory and honor. And made to have dominion over the works of the Father's hands. So that is where dominion was restored by Christ. He restored it, not in the earth, but he restored it in the heavens. But dominion has been restored. But the Bible says you were raised together with him. And you are now made to have dominion. But dominion doesn't start here. It starts up there. Dominion is brought down. Now, there is a dominion you have in his name and exercising, but the kind of dominion God wants to work in this hour is going to be dropped from heaven down. He says, and he made all things under his feet. When you approach an enemy, so God's going to train some people how to move mountains in this day. What I'm talking about now is not how to move a hill. I'm talking about how God is going to move mountains in this day. The kind of stuff we prophesy, look at it, he's going to move mountains because he promises, even Zechariah 4, before Zerubbabel, every mountain will be made low. There is going to be a mountain moving operation, but it's encompassed in that is the mysteries of God of how it works. And to move mountains, we're going to have to descend from an elevated position. The Bible says all things were under his feet. There is a position you can get in where the earth is under your feet. Because you've been raised together. And when you are fighting a mountain, or you're up against a mountain, or God has assigned you to move a mountain, he doesn't want you to face the mountain face to face. He wants you to come down from an elevated position where that mountain is under your feet. And if it's under your feet, you're in the right position to deal with it. You're in the right position to speak to it. You're in the right position to move it because you're standing in the place where dominion's been restored. The reason God didn't restore the dominion here is because the enemy distilled it again. The enemy has a legal lease in the earth. You might as well know that. Now let me talk to you a little bit about the satanic kingdom, how it works, because I'm going to share how it works with the plumb line. The satanic kingdom, let me just talk to you a few things about it. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, the way my spiritual father taught it to me, I kind of like the way spiritual wickedness in heavenly places means below mountaintop air that you breathe. Those are the devils you deal with on a daily basis. So you have devils that you deal with that are here. There are atmospheric ones. There are ones that stand over governments. There's ones that stand over nations, communities. It's a hierarchy. It's regimented. It's a whole demonic army. A lot of the rulers of darkness, you're not addressing those. It just depends on where you're standing, really, in the Lord. But we fight not against flesh and blood. It's a very real enemy. In Ephesians 2, I believe, he talks about the prince of the power of the air. Do you remember when Daniel was praying, and 21 days, the prince of Persia withstood Michael, the archangel? He goes, we heard your prayer from day one. But the prince of the power of Persia withstood me 21 days. He had to get through some kind of system to get down into the earth. There was a demonic system resisting. Now, with certain prayers, we don't even have to worry about that, because we receive from heaven, walk straight down here, and release it in the earth. There are certain things you don't even have to deal with when it comes to the enemy. Called answer prayer. You receive it from the Father, you bring it down here, you decree it, and you release it. You don't have to fight with the devil. But when you're dealing with an atmospheric mountain or mountains or cities, there is going to have to be something that's going to have to be removed. When Jesus, when he was being tempted for 40 days, 40 nights, the devil took him into exceedingly high mountain, showed him the kingdom and the glory of the kingdom. He said, all this I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship. Meaning at the time, he's in possession of it. The Lord didn't even argue with him at the time. Because there's certain things the devil built when he stole Adam's dominion. He built off Adam's dominion, but he built a kingdom out of it. And he rules from an elevated position. We know Michael the archangel in the middle of the tribulation is going to empty that entire second heaven and throw it down into the earth. That's when you don't want to be here. There's a great war that's going to come, and that all that second heaven, we talk about second heaven. So let me tell you, in case you don't know, most of you should know this. First heaven, this is where, earth. Second heaven, the rule and principalities of darkness. Third heaven, kingdom of God, heaven. So you have three operations. Now for that to get through with your rights, you can go straight up, sit with him in heavenly places, receive from him in that position, bring certain things down and release it here. You don't even have to bother with him. Bypass. God has a bypass system. Let's give God glory for his bypass system. The reason why he put everything up there, the Bible says you're blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, is because the first Adam lost it, so the last Adam saw to it that it wouldn't be lost again. He laid it up into the heavens. It's all been laid up. Which means he perfectly designed for you and me to understand this realm. He didn't want us to go through life not understanding, because all our inheritance is there. Have you noticed our inheritance is there? But we have to get it here. Now, when we're talking about answered prayer, you can bypass. When you're talking about citywide revival, you don't get to bypass. You're going to have to deal with things that are standing over cities. When he told Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho, he's going to deal with the middle part. Things over your home, things over your community, you're going to have to deal with that stuff. If you have all manner of strife in your home or all manner of things going on, most likely you haven't cleared the atmosphere. In those things, there's only certain things you're going to be able to bring down from heaven. You're going to have to deal with atmospheric things. The enemy's atmospheric, God's atmospheric. Let me talk to you about how the plumb line, what the Lord's showing us, how the plumb line works. Now, all authority's been given in the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're going to have authority in every single place in the earth. There are authority, you will if God assigned it to you. But nobody's going to have all authority everywhere. There's authority's been assigned. You need to know what you're called to. Where does your authority work? Your authority works like me. I have authority with this church. I have authority to pray over this atmosphere. I can stand over this church anytime I want to. I have authority over my home. I have authority over business God's given me. Whatever God's given you, you have authority to operate. Amen? And you need to utilize that authority. Because a lot of times things are going on is we're not utilizing our authority asking God to do something that only you and God can do. I remember when Norville Hayes was praying over his daughter. He's like, he prayed for like 5 or 10 years. She had growths on her body and everything, and he kept going up the throne. God finally speaks to him audibly. He says, how long? Or in his audible voice, how long are you going to put up with those growths in your daughter's body? Speaks to him audibly. He says, how am I going to do this? You're the God. He goes, God was telling him, you have authority. So he had to go and learn what that meant. And he began to speak and utilize an authority. And God sent an angel into her room. Oh, I want my kids to see that angel. Praise God. And he walked in the room and she couldn't even see the top of the angel's head because he was so large. All she could see his body that disappeared in the ceiling. She seemed like all the way from foot to chest, but his head disappeared. And so scared every devil in her, she was immediately set free. And within a very short time, went into ministry with him. Let's give God glory. Now, what I want to talk about today is the plumb line. How this works. I received this revelation initially through Jericho. The Battle of Jericho. So first thing he said about Jericho is, see that I have given, not going to give, have given. He's operating in a position from the face of God. Joshua met the Lord Jesus incarnate. He came out to meet him. He's standing there on holy ground, still standing there in Joshua 6. He's telling him face to face, see that I've given you Jericho and the king. You have to see what's been given before you begin. You have to know your rights if you're going to exercise authority. You got to know the enemy's already under your feet. Now, a lot of us have that knowledge, but we're not approaching him from the right position. We're approaching him head on, or we're frustrated and we're in the middle of the battle. Sometimes you have to get out of the battle before you get effective. When the battle went on in Exodus 17, Moses, remember his hands were heavy. They were fighting against Amalek. And God told him to leave the battlefield. Sometimes you need to leave the battle to win the battle. I didn't say run, I said leave. He didn't run, he went up to the mountain. And God taught him how to win the battle from the mountain. And as he was in the mountain, he lifted his hands. And as long as his hands were lifted, Joshua was discomforting the enemy. So as long as he was in position, the enemy was being discomforted. So the plumb line, when we drop a plumb line, we have to drop it into our measure of rule or our position of rule. When we drop it, we're going to drop it either over homes, business, church. Those things you don't even have to ask God. You already know you have authority. So most of us really should be practicing over our house. The intercessors here, we need to start praying like this. When you're praying here, we need to start moving. By faith, moving in an elevated position. I like to get a Google. Now, Jericho used two words. He said, you will compass the city round about. Both of these denote a circle. And actually it means to encircle, to crown, to compass. You're going to compass, you're going to surround like a circle. You need to surround your enemy. If it's your home, it's not your enemy, but you need to surround it. Google has a really awesome function. If you've never done it, you don't even have to be a techie. All you got to do is just plug your address in, and it'll go straight down over top of your house. And then zoom in and out. If you want to know how to send and descend, just zoom. Google zoom your house. Get the sensation of what that looks like. Zoom out, zoom in. Zoom out, zoom in. And they got another little function, a little circle. You can actually, it'll draw a circle around the house for you. I have one in my prayer closet. Now, when he taught me this, he goes, that's your Jericho. He said, in circle. So I circle all around this home. He goes, that's your Jericho. We're encompassed the house. When you pray over your house, when you got stuff going on in your house, do not face your enemy face to face. Get out, ascend, come back in power. Amen. When I address the enemy, I don't address him as LaRue. I address him as already having ascended. There's an exchange I make. I put off my weaknesses. I'm moving in his authority, not mine. Sometimes you got to make an exchange or your words won't be with the kind of authority they need to be with. And that's part of going up. I'm not teaching that today. There's a lot of things that go up there. All this can be done in an hour, by the way. Can you not pray 1 hour? I think the Lord had a little definition of praying 1 hour than we do. Like praying over this church, I see a circle. I'm going to carve out a measure of rule or authority. But once that circle has been formed, I see some things in that circle. I see that circle goes from heaven to earth, like a cylinder, a round cylinder, glass, that goes from heaven to earth. That's why I see it. And I see anything in that circle that doesn't look like God is going to be dismantled, leave, broken, shattered, but I am going to address it with authority and dominion. And when I address it, I'm going to address it top down. I start with it being under my feet. If your enemies here don't feel like they're under your feet because you're fighting in his jurisdiction, there are times you'll get in your emotions. There are times you'll get in your body. There's times you get in the atmosphere. You don't feel like fighting. That's why you got to get out. Get up. Exchange. Then step down. Praise God. So when we drop this down, we're dropping heaven down. Now there's some things in this plumb line. We want to understand the operation of angels. The Bible says they're wall. It says they're ministering flames of fire. Now, with Elisha, you remember when the armies surrounded around about the mountain? And Gehazi was all upset and he woke Elisha up and it was Elisha. Praise God. And so they're on the mountain. And he said, oh, open his eyes. And he saw and chariots of fire and the horsemen, the whole army of God. It says they were around about, they encircled the mountain. Meaning there is enough angels to fill your entire plumb line. If the people down the street are not using them, God will send them over to you. They respond to faith. They said they were sent. The ministering flames of fire sent to minister on the behalf of the heirs of salvation. There are angels that go with you while you're an orphan. But the armies, they go with the heirs. It's because you know who you are. You know what you're doing. They know who you are. They're responding to your faith. And there's a way to build an infrastructure around your life. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, you can frame your world. The Bible says we can frame the world. We're framed by the word of God. It's not just a single word spoken. God has a blueprint, a model. I'm talking to you about a new model God wants to bring in the earth. Top down, authoritative, dominion model, dropping down the heavens, utilizing every part of your inheritance for the moving and displacing of demonic powers and mountains. Imagine if we could train intercessors to stand over governments. It's when you operate in authority, understand the angels are with you. They encompass. The Bible says he'll be a wall of fire around about you. And glory in the midst. The roundabout. Now you can see it as a square if you want, but there's too many scriptures that show me God surrounds. My God cometh with fire, his chariots as a whirlwind that surrounds. Our God appeareth, a tempestuous whirlwind around about it. I want the sensation of being surrounded. Now, when you're surrounded, there is a measure of how far you're surrounded. Your faith determines how far your tent stretches. Amen? But the key is be in your tent. Be in the tent of the Lord when you're dealing with the enemy. And understand you have a measure. That measure can expand as you want to grow. But I don't need to expand past this perimeter of this house yet until the glory starts breaking out. We're building an infrastructure. Now, the way you build an infrastructure with the angelic hosts is you have to be aware. They're with you. Aware what the Bible says. Chariots of fire. Horsemen thereof. Now, Joshua, Jacob. Remember Jacob's ladder? Where the angels ascended and descended? And Jacob woke up and goes, this must be the house of God. The glory literally manifested where he was. But the angels were open to heaven. When you see angels ascend and descend, it means they've cleared all second heaven influence. They've cleared every principality, power, ruler of darkness. And when you receive a manifested glory from heaven to earth in an atmospheric realm, they've cleared everything within the vicinity. Now, we can wait for that, or we can operate in our authority that God's given us and work with God in the clearing of all second heaven influence from your home up to the heavens should be cleared. This church up to heaven is in the process of being cleared out. Amen? The more of these intercessors we can get together with this kind of operation, the more effective we're going to be. So when you stand down, here's another one. The Bible says in Zechariah 10, that we can walk up and, this is a generation that's going to walk up and down in His name. Meaning you're going to freely, once you ascend and descend, I can walk straight up that ladder back and forth. The reason you're going to do that is we're going to clear everything from heaven to earth. In the vicinity circle, it's going to be a wall of angelic fire that surrounds. And there's going to be glory in the midst. Now the Lord walked in this plumb line to when Nathanael saw him. And he told him, he said, oh, this means, he goes, you must be the Son of God. And he goes, oh, you're excited about hearing that? He goes, hitherto you're going to see the angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. So we see that the Lord walked in an open heaven. At that ascension and descension, however far it stretched out around him, anybody to get in the vicinity of that would be made whole. It came upon Peter in the form of a shadow. Now in the ascension and descension, as the angels ascend and descend, they're clearing out. In what, in other words, they're displacing principalities that had a right to be there, but now you have a greater right to tell them to leave. And where they're going is outside the perimeter. So you got to get used to seeing your life inside a plumb line. And you got to get used to seeing the enemy outside the plumb line. And if you're tired of him fighting you, you're either going to have to build something like this and address him, or he's going to keep doing the same thing he's been doing all these years. He'll keep fighting you the same way. So where your authority is, what we want to do is we want to create an authority zone. Meaning when I step my feet down around my home, this is my house. And as far as God's concerned, says, how long are you going to put up with the enemy? In your house, you've been given authority in the name of Jesus. I have authority to address any enemy within that plumb line. I don't have authority to go over to my neighbor and start telling him, but I have authority to address what's inside my plumb line. Walk up into my plumb line, you're walking up into my authority zone. So I want, in that authority zone, I want that thing continuously cleansed in the blood of Jesus. I want to be aware the angels are constantly ascending and descending. I say it. I want to see the angels as a wall of fire around about me. And I want to see the glory in the midst. And I want to speak these things. Amen? So we see in this plumb line, when he said, see, I've given you Jericho, we know the angels were there because he walked out and introduced himself as the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He had just dispatched the whole army around Jericho. So with the time they obeyed and walked seven times and shouted, the angels tore the walls down. They're the ones that tore the walls down. They're with us. They're an army that are with us. We need to be very aware, always, always, always including the angelic host in our prayer. Amen? Now, we want to see that in operation, and you'll start learning to just see. When I pray, sometimes I like to stand down like Thor stands down. You ever seen him come down, and then the ground breaks when he can. You want to see Thor's hammer in your hand, you know, that kind of thing. You want to know you have authority and you want to address and begin addressing the atmosphere that you're living in. Because you can build and frame an operation of God that will surround you. You can build it to where the enemy cannot get through, where sickness, disease, infirmity can't come in. Since I've been doing this, I haven't been sick in 4 years. Because we're keeping that. When too much is going on with my sons or something like that, I got to work overtime. Amen? But I'm a keeper of this vineyard. I'm a keeper of my house. You got to become a keeper of your vineyard. build a habitation around your freedom and liberty. Wake up to peace. Go to bed with peace. Don't wake up with warfare and go to bed with warfare. If you've got warfare going to bed and going to waking up with warfare, you've got stuff up in your zone. Don't go crying to God. He's going to have you move it. You have authority. Utilize, build, surround, frame an environment. That's why you need to see it somehow as something that surrounds. See the chariots of fire surround your mountain. See a wall of fire surrounding. See the glory within. See the angels ascending and descending. I see them constantly sweeping our house. I call them the sweeper angels. They come through and just sweep it. I see the warriors coming down. They stand around the property. I see the Bible says he's got hornets. Hornets. You ever been in front of a hornet? I don't care how big, how strong. Hornet starts flying up in your face, you're going to run. I don't know anybody's going to face a hornet off. When you see a hornet, you're out of there. He has hornets. So send out and sting the enemy. He said, I'll send my hornets before you in the promised land. We are underutilizing our inheritances of God. And the reason why is because we have not learned how to do this. It's an acquired learning experience. The more you do it, the more you see. The more you see, the more effective you'll be. You'll see in the invisible realm. I don't have to see in this realm to know they're here because I see them plenty in the other realm. The more you do it, it's like your eye will start seeing that realm like the one you see here. It's real. It's just not seeing with a natural eye. It's seeing with the eye of faith. And that realm gets brighter the more you utilize faith. That realm will get more explosive. You'll start feeling the impact. We've been doing this lately. Whether here or at home, we get down here and we start decreeing the life. We step into the life above. We come down. We start decreeing. And we're seeing atmospheres just shift. Suddenly it goes from flat to whew. You can feel the atmosphere because ultimately we want to frame a new house. I'll close with this. My next one, I'll talk about the role of the seven spirits of God. I didn't get into his role, but I'll get into his role too because I see all this as one operation. I didn't quite get to his role today, but I want to say this. We want to build a new house, one that's not made with human hands. We want to build a house from the heavens, but it's just as real as the one you live in. It's filled with all good things. A house that's filled with continuous presence. A house that's filled with continuous peace. A house that's filled with continuous love. A house that's filled with continuous blessing, goodness, increase, multiplication. This is framed. You frame your generation. You frame it by the word of God. It needs to be in your mouth. It needs to be in the frontlets of your eyes. You need to see what is your framing. The more you do it, start with one area and start doing it and do it. And I'm telling you, you'll start feeling the impact of it. If you get sick all the time, it's because a spirit of infirmity lurking around your house you've not dealt with. Just telling you what it is. Now, that doesn't mean if you get sick once or twice, don't feel condemned. But I'm telling you, if you're constantly under something, this infirmity has come into your camp. And you've got to build a wall, a hedge around your body, a hedge around your home. If you have strife, even poverty, same thing with poverty. Now, I'm not talking about the enemy fighting you, but I'm talking if you got one assignment after another, it's hitting you financially. I had to do this with my properties in Lufkin. We were having so much going wrong there that I had to start dropping down there and releasing the angels and doing the whole thing we do. And I tell you, it's just amazing. We do it. Everything starts coming again. Because I'm working on other things, sometimes I'll let that one go and that fire will start going back up. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I had to go back. But what I've learned, it's not that hard. I know what I'm saying to you, it seems like it's hard. But once you do it and learn to do it every day, I don't spend really more than an hour doing this. Sometimes if the anointing's real heavy and he has me on something, maybe an hour and a half. But you can get so much accomplished in a single hour. You just got to understand that when you start, you don't feel like it. When you start, you have to learn to shift that feeling. That feeling, the Bible says, the spirit's always willing. It's the flesh that's weak. So say the flesh is weak. The flesh can be turned. The flesh can be exchanged. That's why you go up and exchange. I don't wake up and just start dealing with the devil. I don't do that. I'm not in position. I haven't even had my morning coffee yet. I got to deal with me. Amen? Before I start addressing the devil, I got to start addressing me. I got to get me in line. And I'm not a morning person, which everything's working against me already. Used to wake up just, argh. But that guy's gone. But still I wake up, I'm kind of these days, I don't wake up, I ought to be going, hallelujah. But I do wake up with, So coffee don't get me, and I can't drink enough. I used to try triple shots. That doesn't get me in position. I learned to get out. I learned a place in God that works so many times that by the time I'm up into that first half, I'll make an exchange. I'll be operating His strength. I'll get that flesh off. The new man will start operating. I get clothed in His righteousness. I get love. I get in the place from above. Now I'm ready to come down and start dealing. Because God's given me some assignments. These are very big stuff He's assigned. And He won't change His mind. I said, you sure we can't change your mind? He goes, no. I'm like, Lord, nobody else is doing that. And He goes, you don't know what everybody else is doing. He goes, but don't talk to me about it. He said, don't talk to me about somebody else. He goes, I've trained you for this. I said, can we start it with something smaller? It's a pretty big thing He's asking me to do. He said, no. But He's trained me now to walk right up into the enemy's territory in the gates of Mammon. The Bible says you are a possessor of heaven and earth, and you will possess the gate of the enemy. But wisdom says to stand with wisdom in a top. She builds her... Oh, you should read Proverbs 7, 8, and 9. Our revelations on that is so awesome. You should read the one that says, the harlot, she builds her house in the high places. Second heaven. But wisdom builds her house in the top of the high places. Third heaven. So when we sit with wisdom, we sit in the top of the high places. Say the top. Always working from top down. Start working from top down. Amen. Once you get to the top, you've been empowered on high. Now we're ready. That's where dominion is. That's why I'm going to sit in the seat in a minute. I'm going to receive the crown. I'm going to receive the glory. I'm going to receive the dunamis power. Then I'm going to come down and address and start moving mountains. These mountains are going to crumble in this hour. And the more we learn to do this, we've got to shift. Now I'm going to say this before I close. And some of you are not going to like this. But I got to say it. Intercessors, I'm going to talk to you. When you're as an intercessor trained in a certain way, the hardest thing ever is to change. Because you have a certain way you do things. I'm not talking to anybody. Not anyone. There's a certain way we learn to pray. And so we just go to that same way. Amen? But God is trying to show us there's a different way to do things. There's a more effective way. A more glorious way, built on better promises. We're going to have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to be taught. We have to be willing. The hard part is we're so used to doing it that way that we have to change and learn to do it a new way. Now, right now, God's asking us all to do it by faith because we're building this invisible thing by faith. But there's infrastructure all around. If you could see it, it's so awesome. There's infrastructure around. You can't see it. The people outside can't see it. They see a church with a taco stand, but there's this glorious... There's another taco stand out here. Praise God. There's a glorious infrastructure that's being built. It's stretched down from the heavens. There's a wall of fire that surrounds. It's getting ready to inhabit the great seven spirits of God as He brings the return of the crown into the earth. And He brings the current of the crown into the earth. There's going to be an encompassing cylinder around us 24 hours a day. And God's going to fill it with His glory. And a continuous glory is going to emanate from it. And your position is going to be like Joshua. You're going to be inside the tent and you don't depart from it. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.